chapter 17, of the perseverance of the saints, section 1. They whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end, and be eternally saved. Section 2. This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of election, flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father, upon the efficacy of the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ, the abiding of the Spirit and of the seed of God within them, and the nature of the covenant of grace, from all which ariseth also the certainty and infallibility thereof. Section 3. Nevertheless, they may, through the temptations of Satan and of the world, the prevalency of corruption remaining in them, and the neglect of the means of their preservation, fall into grievous sins, and for a time continue therein, whereby they incur God's displeasure, and grieve his Holy Spirit, come to be deprived of some measure of their graces and comforts, have their hearts hardened, and their consciences wounded, hurt, and scandalize others, and bring temporal judgments upon themselves. One evening, as I was conducting the midweek prayer meeting, an elderly white-haired gentleman asked for one of his favorite hymns, "How Firm a Foundation." The hymn has six long stanzas, and as the meeting was very informal, I wondered aloud which of the six we could omit. Not the first, of course. It speaks of the Word of God as the foundation of our faith. Not the second, because we need the aid and strength of God's omnipotent hand. The third or the fourth? The old gentleman interrupted my wondering by insisting that this was a good hymn and that we could sing it all. We did. And as we reached the fifth stanza, everyone else in the room saw in it the picture of the grand old man who had requested the hymn. E'en down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. He too sang it with vigor, and sang the sixth stanza too. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. Now, it was a bit strange that this gentleman should have requested this hymn and should have sung it with such praise and devotion, for he did not like Calvinism. All his life he had been an Arminian. He did not believe in eternal security, as he called it, and he had been telling his friends so for years. Even now he would have disowned the name of Calvinism, but could it be that without realizing it, he had now come to believe, and that his earlier Arminian views had changed with the color of his hair? If it is strange that this lovely Arminian saint could become at least somewhat of a Calvinist without knowing it, it is far more strange that anyone who bases his faith on the firm foundation of God's Word could ever be an Arminian. The scripture verses are too numerous to mention. But some may be puzzled at the doctrine of perseverance and think that it ascribes too much willpower to frail humanity. Such an objection rests on a misunderstanding. Section 2 of this chapter clearly says that this perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the immutability of the decree of election. I remember a conversation with another Arminian. He had been fulminating against the doctrine of election, and I replied that election was the basis of our assurance of salvation. The Arminian's contempt rose in his face as he charged me with substituting the doctrine of election for the crucifixion of Christ. Well, of course, our salvation is based on the active and passive obedience of Christ, but our assurance requires some reason to believe that the benefits of Christ's work are permanently applied to ourselves. Small comfort it is indeed if we are saved at breakfast and lost at noon. Let us emphasize the fact. The Arminians can have no sure hope of entering heaven, that must always entertain the uncomfortable feeling that they will finally be lost. Obviously, no man can depend on his own power to persevere in grace. For first, human nature is weak, and second, grace is not something we can earn or keep. And if the Arminian refuses to admit that God causes his elect to persevere, what reasonable expectation can he have of heaven? The Roman Catholic doctrine to which the Arminians reverted in their revolt against the Reformation is expressed in the decrees of the Council of Trent. One section reads, "If anyone maintain that a man once justified cannot lose grace, let him be accursed." Only a massive ignorance of the Scriptures allows for such a position. Philippians 1:6 says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Language could hardly make it plainer that if God starts the good work in a sinner, he will complete it. The ARV reads, "will perfect it." The RSV reads, "will bring it to completion." The Greek verb means to accomplish, to complete, or to finish. Is there any conceivable way by which this verse could be harmonized with Arminianism? If Philippians 1:6 is as clear as it is possible for language to be, John 10:28-29 is still clearer. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand." How some people have squirmed to avoid these verses. Those who insist on a free will independent of God say that although other men cannot pluck a child of God from the Father's hand, the man himself is free to do so. But the verse says no man can do so. This includes the man himself. Another act of desperation is to argue that although no man can pluck the child from the hand of God, the devil can do so. But once more, the phrase "no man" in the King James Version is in the original, "no one." So it is translated in the ARV. And in any case, the verse says that Christ gives his sheep eternal life. Would it be eternal if it ceased after 5 days or 5 years? The verse also says that they shall never perish. How long and how sure is never? It would seem that no one could misunderstand this language. Then for good measure we shall add 1 Peter 1:5, which speaks of the regenerate as those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Why belabor the obvious? And still the Scriptures, addressed as they are to stubborn rebels against God, repeat the same idea time after time. Cf. 2 Timothy 2:19, Jeremiah 31:3 and 32:40, 1 John 2:19, and Isaiah 55:11. Of course, the perseverance of the saints does not mean sinless perfection or a free life from struggle and temptation. Eradication of our corrupt nature is a long and difficult process and will not be completed until we are glorified. As long as the present life continues, we may become careless of the means of grace. Our hearts may be temporarily hardened. We may fall into grievous sins. Thus, we may harm others and bring temporal punishment upon ourselves. God does not promise to carry us to the skies on flowery beds of ease, but praise his name, he promises to carry, drag, or push us there. So and only so we arrive. What should be particularly noted in this section is how the doctrine of perseverance fits in with all the other doctrines. God is not irrational or insane. What he says hangs together. It forms a logical system. Election, total depravity, effectual calling, sovereign grace, and perseverance are mutually consistent. God does not contradict himself, but Arminian saints do. They may be grand old men, loved by all who know them, but not until the message of the Bible persuades them of God's sovereign, unchangeable love can they really sing, "That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, No, never, no, never forsake.